24-1003, United States versus Kenneth Hackbarth. Mr. McGowan, our weekly visitor.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Andrew McGowan. I'm with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent Mr. Hackbarth in this appeal. We have two issues before the court. One's a Booker issue, and the other's an abuse of position of trust enhancement application. And unless there are any questions about the Booker matter, I don't intend to address that. The position of trust application in this case is one of the more tenuous ones that I've seen. And although the guidelines does allow for an application in a case where a person does not have a license and does not necessarily have a fiduciary relationship with the people who give him money. However, for defendants who provide sufficient indicia to the victim that the defendant legitimately holds a position of public or private trust, when in fact the defendant does not, it does apply.
But, of course, he held himself out as a legitimate broker. That suggests that he occupied a position of trust whether or not he represented himself as licensed. I mean, it would be almost unusual if someone said to you, you know, I'm a licensed broker.
If in fact that's what he said, I would agree with the court. However, according to the district court, he was relying on a couple of different statements as far as licenses go. And one is, this is a licensed operation. At one point, he may have said that in a letter. He did say that in a letter.
Right.
The other thing is, we have licensed people who are securing funds. However, in the context of this scheme, this Ponzi scheme, what we have is a defendant who tells people that he's investing in properties, buying old apartment buildings and rebuilding them, and maybe building some houses and that sort of thing, although he doesn't do any of that. So it's not like he's saying, I'm investing in foreign banks, I'm doing these kinds of structured transactions that will give you a lot of money.
But then you've got a situation where he's holding himself out to clients as having extensive investment experience, and can't we assume, based on the law in our circuit, that it was a position of private trust that he held a position of private trust with regard to those clients, and particularly when they basically signed away the store and let him do whatever he wanted?
Well,
I mean, he had such broad discretion to act on their behalf. He could basically do anything, and that certainly, especially when his friends and family suggest that it was abusive.
Well, let me just answer it this way. The loan documents that he entered into with the people who, the friends and family members who gave him money, while he did have discretion to use the money, it did limit the amount of responsibility he had to the people. The 15% a year is approximately what it was, and that's why this court and other courts have made a distinction between fiduciary relationships, even if they're pretended to be fiduciary relationships, and non-fiduciary relationships, like lender-borrower relationships.
How important is this, these fine-tuning things under an advisory system of guidelines? I've got the judge, if the judge in a post-Booker world looks at it and says, yeah, this may not technically fit the an abuse of discretion, abuse of trust, but it's close enough, and I'm going to analogize a sentence that assumes that that's a fact.
Well,
I mean, all we're doing is deciding ultimately if that's a reasonable sentence that flows from that sort of analysis. So.
That's a great question, Your Honor, and I think that remains to be seen. In cases particularly like this case, though, I think it's important for this court to tell the court, the district court, what the court thinks about this application, because in this case, the district court sentenced Mr. Hackbarth to the high end of guidelines, not the absolute high end, but the high end, and said at the sentencing that he was making a statement to the community. He was using him as an example. And I think one of the reasons that he may have done that, and I can't read a district court's mind, and I'm not pretending to, but one of the possibilities is the range was 8 to 10 years as it was, which is a considerable amount of time. Mr. Hackbarth, very old when he's sentenced. He's 76 or 7 at the time. And 8 years wouldn't have made much difference in terms of whether this is a life sentence or not. So under those circumstances, the district court may well have used that guideline range as a, well, okay, I'm gonna max this guy out. I'm going to send a message. If the guidelines are advisory and the range actually that the judge is looking at is a little lower, it may impact whether the judge ultimately uses Mr. Hackbarth as an example. And that's the reason in this case I think it's important. The general question, I think it remains to be seen, because the question of whether a sentence is reasonable or not will probably depend in part, I would hope anyway, on the guideline calculations.
It is very interesting because here it was about $6.5 million, am I right, that we're talking about?
Yes, Your Honor.
The other day we had a case that involved $9 million, same, almost the identical facts, you know, family, friends, $9 million, and the fellow had been given 52 months. It is. I mean,
it just depends on the judge and the circumstances. One thing I'd like to point out, particularly about Mabry and the other case that the government cited, it does appear that those are investments. That is to say, the people were doing more than loaning the money. I say that because the opinions talk about investments. They don't talk about loans. The other thing is, in Mabry, there's a specific reference to friends and family. And I think this court has to be careful not to make this abuse of a position of trust enhancement an abuse of a friendship enhancement or family members. I mean, are family members friends? Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. But this could, devolve in some circumstances. And unless there are any questions,
okay.
I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for
rebuttal.
Thank you,
Mr. McGowan. Morning, Ms. Warwick.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Lisa Warwick. I represent the United States in this matter. I'm from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Milwaukee.
Would you start with that last comment? Because are we going to start to say that anytime someone defrauds a friend as opposed to a stranger, that he's abusing a position of trust?
No, I don't think we are, and we're not especially in this case dependent upon the circumstances in this case. Because what we have in this situation, as was mentioned in a previous argument, is this one is very fact-specific. Kenneth Hackbarth had presumably a legitimate company with all indicia of the Homestead Company that was going to invest their money in real estate rehab, was basically the premise, whether it be single homes or commercial real estate. And I believe that based on the judge's comments at the sentencing, he did not apply the abuse of position of trust simply because of the relationships that were there, that these were friends. I don't know if there was family members. There might have been. But instead, he looked at the relationship, first of all, is how Mr. Hackbarth held out himself and his company, coupled with the relationships that he fostered and continued and brought other people into the fold. As this court noted, this is over $6 million restitution order in this case. These were over 100 investors that put in their savings to Mr. Hackbarth. And they did so first because he offered an incredible return on their investment of 15%, coupled with the fact that he was able to prey upon them and gain their trust and continue the perpetuation of his scheme because of the type of relationships he had with them. So I think that what we have here is akin to the court's previous decisions in this circuit of Marbrook and Frickholm, and that is he had total discretion to invest the victim's money as he chose. They pretty much let him have free rein. He also did interesting lulling letters that weren't your typical lulling letters. I don't know if there is one. But a lulling letter that was not just lulling them in terms of their investment, but also fostering that trust in that relationship. And I refer to the letter Exhibit 2 to the appellant's brief. And I'll just note one part of that letter where he addresses it very familiarly, "Dear Pat," and he goes on to say, "Business continues to be good, and at present we're dealing on quite a large property." He concludes the letter by saying, "If you ever wish to get together with Vi and I, please let us know. In the meantime, may the Lord continue to bless you. Sincerely, Ken." Not your typical investor arm's length transaction letter. clearly what we have here is a different situation. I believe the district court made very factually based statements on the record during the sentencing that show the position is justified for abuse of position of trust. I'll just highlight one, the transcript at page 39. Victims who wouldn't have invested their money, taken out an equity loan, did so because they knew Mr. Hagbarth. It isn't as they went down to Strong Mutual Funds and talked to some representative that they never met before. Some of them were reluctant to do that, but with a friend they were willing to do that.
See, that's what I'm afraid of, that every time it's a friend, it's an abuse of trust.
And I think the situation could be if I went out to my neighbor and said, I've got this great idea, Julie. Let's invest in such and such. I've checked it out. It looks legit. You pony up $1,000, I'll pony up $1,000. And I give indicia of everything. I don't think that that's a situation necessarily where abuse of position of trust would apply. But this, Homestead Investment, flash, you know, nice brochure, lulling letters, stationery, has the little H on the top for Homestead, all indicia of looking very legitimate, talks about what possible investments are likely in different properties, and it so happens that the investors either start as friends, become friends, but I think it's the totality here that brings it for abuse of position of trust being not in clear error at all. I just want to note on the Palladino issue that the government conceded it, and it was mindful when it conceded it that in this particular situation, the judge did almost max out the defendant. I mean, we're at 120 months with 121 being the max in the guideline range. So, if there's no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you so much, Ms. Warr. Mr. McGowan.
Thank you. I have another
question. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. We'll see you next week. Okay. And we'll take the case under advisement, and we'll go on to the next case, which